Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is November 8th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed you forgot the day. You know, one of the virtues of starting on the first of the month is that we record on all the same days. So when we record on the first, we also record on the 8th.
That's true. But I just forgot that. Do you think
every single time.
My entire world is like oriented by the time, by the first of the month recording month?
It should be. That's what I'm suggesting.
I just got tripped
maybe
up.
Some life changes. Realize what's important in life.
I started talking. I did it without thinking. My mouth started going. End of a long weekend. Worse for the wear. Had a great wedding in Cleveland. I drove back today just on adrenaline, getting ready for the week. Sunday scaries. Definitely wasn't waiting.
You were waiting for Sunday
night.
That would never end. That's
with this
the adrenaline
hour.
That was carrying you. Holy the adrenaline cow. Carried you on your ride.
Let me tell you, it felt like Sunday night, like at like 2 p.m. Just the day that doesn't end with the extra hour. So it was a long weekend, but Victory Monday, the Browns just kicked ass. We listened to it in the car ride home. Great game. And sneakily, which absolutely no one cares about or wants to hear about, the Cavs might be not bad. They've whipped up
on
the Knicks.
Look at you. Go back to Cleveland for a weekend and start talking about the Cavaliers. Evan Mobley's really good.
He might be good. They've won like five in a row. They beat the Knicks in New York. They might. So good Victory Monday.
I think the right term for them is frisky. They're frisky.
Frisky. We could have a whatever it is now, NBA Central Division, the Bulls-Cavs.
Bulls,
could have some
Bulls,
battles
Cavs.
Coming. Yeah, yeah. So
Detroit's got Cade Cunningham. You know,
yeah, but they
Milwaukee's
stink.
Got Giannis.
Yeah, I've
and
heard.
Indiana has nobody.
I've heard. Good victories for you. You got the Illinois one and Thomas Peters.
Yeah,
right.
Big Illini weekend.
Peter raked Minnesota team, if I'm not mistaken, and you got the Bears tomorrow night.
I don't understand how they've beaten two ranked teams.
Who was the other one? Penn State.
Penn State. They beat Penn State and Minnesota. They lost to Rutgers the week before.
Let me tell you.
Rutgers, and then they beat Minnesota.
That Burt, you know, Bielema, that was a real asshole move, throwing everyone under the bus. As a youth coach, sports coach of youths myself, and I, you know, I could give you tips and pointers. That was outrageous, the way he said, no one on the team is, like, good. No one on the team should be playing Division I football. He got so lucky they beat Penn State. Like, that was so out of bounds.
I think that the message has worked.
No, that was the narrative like I'm sure people tried to attach.
You make the kids run ladders right at the start of practice. Bielema tells them they don't belong there.
And I mean, he basically said we're not good. He threw all his kids under the bus.
They are good, though. He's just being honest. They're not any good.
You can't say that in public. That was terrible. But hey, congrats.
Why can't he?
Because they're kids still. Like they're scholarship players, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. Congrats to your Illini. And Thomas Peters, first win in like 2 years. We'll get to the golf results. Let's start with that. At Mayakoba. It's just always going to be Mayakoba. I'm sorry. These new ridiculous title sponsors can come in. It can be whatever you want to call it. It's just Mayakoba. That's what it'll always be. The Worldwide Technology Championship. You can call it that if you're forced to, but we're not forced to do anything here. Victor Hovland kind of runs away with it. Had potential. You had Justin Thomas. You had Scottie Scheffler. You had Matthew Wolf, Joaquin Neiman.
It didn't have any potential, though, because Victor didn't let it have any potential.
Kind of choked it out quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he made three birdies on the front nine. And
start
just
of
took
Sunday.
Care of business.
Yeah. You had Carlos Ortiz, Abe Anser. There was potential for a sleepy fall event, for it to be something fun. but Hovland just kind of dusted him and got away.
This might be Hovland's alley, Hovland's cave.
That's correct. That's what they should call it. The Victor Cenote? Cenote? How do you pronounce that? It's Cenote. So it's like, that's the fancy name for the cave. Yeah, maybe that's what they call it. Victor. That's a good one. You come up with that, or was that a prep note?
No, I came up with that.
All right, good.
I just think this place is fit for him. I hope
why?
He plays
what
here
does
every
that
year.
Mean? The why is it fit? Are you just because he's won? There's nothing.
No,
about
no.
It.
So he's at the top of the rankings off the tee, and now most of the guys at the top of the rankings off the tee get there by hitting it an exorbitant amount, you know, a distance off the tee.
Yes,
Hovland is up there. He's like, I mean, he's long. Don't get me wrong. He's long, but he's not crazy long. He's up there because he's uber accurate too.
Right.
So when you combine that, like when you're above average length and you're really accurate and you go to a course where there's mangroves everywhere.
Right.
Like, and you can still hit driver without losing drivers, you know?
Saw that quite a bit, you know, Scheffler taking penalty strokes, JT trying to punch through the forest and all this stuff. Like, the thing about that course, we're not going down this road, is like, you could be playing half the time there and have no idea you're near the sea. I mean, they're just carved claustrophobically into the trees. You know, you're no idea you're near the beach. So, but yeah, he was able to navigate through that forest. Gets his second win. They're calling him the man at Mayakoba, all this stuff. He's now won there twice. And, he won in on the European tour as well, and obviously at the Puerto Rico Open win.
Lots of wins. He's only 24.
Lots of wins. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, there's a lot of wins for a 24-year-old.
I agree.
Three on tour and one on the European
tour.
More
than Scottie Scheffler, for sure.
A lot more. More than Matthew Wolff.
He's obviously notoriously talked about his chipping sucks. His putting was really what kind of made this, you know, whatever. That's what happens. You get hot with the putter. You're as good as he is off the tee and ball striking. You get hot with the putter. You win by 3, 4, 5, and it becomes stress-free.
So I
thought his chipping wasn't bad today. There was a couple times he blew one into, like, some sandy waste area. He got creative, hit, like, a low runner, just kind of trying to dead it into the side of the hill. So it wasn't terrible chipping. I don't know. It seems like he's getting better, I suppose.
Yeah, improvement. All he has to be is average at it, right. You know? Nobody becomes a great player because of their chipping, you know, prowess.
Right.
He's got what you want to have. He's got the off the tee and approaching the green. So on that note,
yes,
last year in the season, he was fifth off the tee. So fifth best off the tee player, according to strokes gain. And he was 15th on approach, which is really rare to see somebody near the top of both statistics. So I was curious, you know, obviously you add those two up, you got come to a total of 20, rank of 20 when you add, like, you know, kind of like the old total driving stat, right?
Mm-hmm.
You come to 20. I was like, oh, who else was sub 20, you know? And John Rahm was second off the tee and eighth on approach. He was 10, so that's a 10. There's one other guy that was ahead of Hovland's total. Can you guess who it was? You're never going to guess this.
Yeah, who was it then?
Corey Connors.
I was going to say, okay.
He went eighth and ninth off the tee and approach.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and that's a guy that can't chip or can't putt. So.
Right. He was that good all year, you know, tee to green, that it kind of overcame. I mean, he was constantly in contention. And, you know, maybe the CT machine wasn't there either. So
now, I don't have an Excel doc to just, you know, rifle through like the likes of Justin Ray or Smartin or famed data scientists that tell you how smart they are.
Proficient in Excel, but maybe not, you know.
Well, I don't have access to the goods. I need the access.
Sure,
I'm sure I can figure out
you're
how
behind
to
behind the data, you know, wall. You're on the other side of the. You don't have rights to the data lake.
I'm on the other side of the moat.
You can't swim in the lake. All right.
So, from my calculations, I saw Keegan Bradley was next at a combined total of 32. So he's 28th off the tee and fourth. Horrible putter. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Like how bad it is.
Yeah.
And then the last one I saw, Cantlay, was 36 total, so he was 12th and 24. Nobody else like was even like looking through him was even close. Like, you know, you had guys in the 50s and stuff like that, but it's pretty crazy like how good he hits it. Obviously his chipping and putting were right around zero, which is fine, but if he has a few hot putting weeks, he's going to win a lot. This is similar to Colin Morikawa. Morikawa, when he putts well, wins. And that is going to be the way Hovland is. It's kind of the way JT is, too.
In an era when, like, everybody, like, all the best in the world gain strokes off the tee, more or less. Like, he is demonstrably, like, not better, but he's maybe the best at gaining strokes, right? It's not just one of the top. He is like maybe the top gaining strokes off the tee, right? I mean,
Hovland?
Not. I understand like at most places it just pays to murder the ball 360 yards and it doesn't matter where it lands most of the time. But he seems, he's not just really good. Like he doesn't have the requisite skill set. He's like elite off the tee. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
He's going to be at the top every year.
I don't know. I don't want to talk big picture trajectory. Everyone, you know, every time a young guy wins, they're like, what does that mean? Is he going to win a major? Is he going to, you know, when's he going to break? Well, you know, how many wins? But hey, it's good. Winning matters and he's getting it done.
Listen, we talked about this with like Rahm recently, like, you know, the last couple years. So Rahm was really consistent, had some good wins. I don't think Hovland has any win that compares to Rahm's wins, you know, whether they were the, you know, he had the Rolex Series wins and then obviously Torrey early on. Like, I think those, you know, that would be a player you could compare him to, but he just doesn't have, like, this is what made Rahm so special. Like, these guys are both really, you know, Victor Hovland, not to take anything away from him, special player. But, you know, in comparison to Rahm was elite off the tee, elite approach player, and elite putting. Like
all the time that's, putting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's the difference between, you know, but I think like you look at Hovland, like I think he's gonna be a guy that's a really, really good player for a really, really long time. But I don't know if he's ever going to be like a huge winner, like where he wins a ton. I think he might be more, you know, is in the Sergio Garcia vein where, you know, he contends a ton and knocks off one or two and might be around for a really long time. And then the win total looks really good, right?
Yeah. Aesthetically, you know, fantastic to watch.
Like before we talk trajectory.
Yeah.
He has zero top tens in majors. So
well, that's what I was going to check next. Right. Where does the game... I don't know. Where does it stand out? You know, what kind of tests, what kind of plays does it stand out? I know he's done well at Memorial, places like that, or Muirfield Village. He's contended and played well there. But yeah, he has not made noise really.
I mean, you expect him to. He hasn't played that many times around. So like, you know, I'm not
okay as an amateur at Pebble. Like okay, right?
Yeah,
the Hovland role came.
I think
out of
he
that.
Was like 13th or something.
Yeah.
So I'm okay. Like, I'm not worried about his, he's only played in eight of them.
Yep.
So yep. I'm not worried at all, but like, let's see some, you know, real deal. And we haven't seen him win a big time tour event either. These are small timers.
Yeah, I'm worried about his apparel deal. Consistently one of the worst dressed. Like how you, young guy like that, great personality, great character,
he's
amazing
wearing the
charisma.
Lindbergh or whatever.
He looks like they got him dressed. They put him in more bad stuff. Anyways, congrats to Victor Hovland. Do you have anything else on the Mayakoba? JT sort of blew a tire coming in. He just couldn't catch up.
He got off to a terrible start.
On Thursday he was bad. First nine, he was
Oh, do you know how Hovland made his one lone double for the week?
No, mangroves. The cave?
Ball landed on a sprinkler head, just bounced right into the mangroves.
Oh God. I'm surprised the tour just doesn't have like a local rule for that. You know, live clean play stuff. Like I would think they would just say, "Oh, just put a town where you thought it landed and play."
Listen, like I kind of love the quirk of a bounce off sure. a sprinkler head.
Sure.
But one thing I've always wondered is like, how have we not come up with like little caps that we put on? And any green or superintendent that's listening to this is probably going to curse me out for this.
Yeah, the additional step.
How is there not like how is Toro or Rainbird or any irrigation manufacturer not come up with like a little like AstroSurf cap? You know,
something but, that like, deadens it, right?
Yeah. Like, why is it still this? Like, we should have caps. It should pop out, and then it should be like AstroTurf on regular days.
On the bright side, it gave us the John Huggins story when he missed the British Open qualifying because he hit a
sprinkler
and went and got, you know, was howling at the moon, drunk in a field in Scotland or England, I think it was. All right. Anything else on Mayakoba? Scheffler got close, then immediately started blowing putts. I don't have anything else.
I feel like we're starting to get into Carlos Ortiz's situation. I think he's got three straight top tens here. He's kind of feeling like I'm getting a lot of Mike Weir Canadian Open vibes from Carlos Ortiz at Mayakoba.
He does.
Like, just contending in his home country, but can't get it done year after year. And it's got to be, you know, playing with the weight of the world there.
Yeah, but he goes to defend at Houston. I got tricked. The Andy thing this week tricked me. The PGA Tour comms, I don't know if I was in the middle of the wedding and got an alert, said 18 of the top 30 have committed to play the Houston Open. And I was like, oh, shit, that's awesome. Like, well, that's great. Great city, great venue, kind of, that's great. And it was 18 of the top 30 FedEx Cup standings. And it took me like three times. I had to go back to it. I got duped. Which, you know, it's still fine. It's good, commendable. But, I mean, the FedEx Cup in November, those standings are far from the 18 of the top 30 players in the world. But perhaps what Andy would argue with that. All right, we're on to Houston on the PGA Tour.
It's misleading.
All right, other results from the weekend. This happened Saturday morning here. The conclusion was Saturday morning here in the Eastern United States. The Asia-Pacific Amateur. Thrilling conclusion. World number one ranked amateur. So, like, you know, he went and got it. It was leading for most of the event. Keita Nakajima. This was in Dubai. I mean, which, come on. I don't think they should land the Asia-Pacific Amateur. It was one of those. They get enough golf. They get enough great golf. They got two Euro Tour events coming in the next 2 weeks. I don't know. It looked like a water park. There was so much water everywhere. With little Dubai Yacht Club or whatever it's called. Nakajima wins. He's the world number one player. It was really exciting. Won a second playoff over Taichi Ko, who's from Hong Kong, plays at Notre Dame. Hit it in the water. So Nakajima kind of had a little less stress on that second playoff hole. He's got a Masters berth, Open Championship berth. I think he was already in the U.S. Open and British Open based off his like amateur ranking. But here's some of his accolades already. He's won the Australian Amateur, the Japanese Amateur. He was T30 last month at the Zozo. Pretty good. T30.
He's
on
like
the PGA
200
Tour.
And something in the OWGR.
Oh, yeah. He's won two golds at the Asia Games. And I think he won the Panasonic Open on the Japanese Tour against all the pros. I think he won it, if I'm not mistaken. Guy, really exciting. I mean, you have Kanaya, who just was number one amateur. You've obviously had Hideki in the past, who won this event, and you know, obviously just won the Masters. Nakajima, I'm fascinated by. He's jacked. He's kind of ripped. He's a big boy. He's got some guns, and he's already proving it on PGA Tour events, Japanese Tour events, and then the kind of amateur events he needs to win to get into berths into some of these bigger majors. So, good finish. And he was in tears. It was cool. I thought the scene was cool. It was like a guy who's number one and done everything to see him, you know, balling for winning this. I think this event is really like, it feels a lot younger than it is. I think we're like year 12, 13 or something. And seems to be working, kind of doing what it should do at the amateur level, right? At the younger grassroots level in Asia. So
I completely agree. I feel like it's you know, it's a really cool pathway into big championship golf. Yep. That was very needed.
Yep. Augusta National might know what they're doing in terms of getting events off the ground and succeeding. All right, elsewhere. Portugal Masters. Thomas Peters. Thomas, don't call me Thomas Peters.
Thomas.
This is his fifth Euro Tour win. I think
he's
it's
back.
His last win was 2 years ago. I think it was the Czech Masters. Might have been. No. Yeah, he's always done well at the Czech Masters. Kind of, I wouldn't say he didn't have to work for it, but the guys sort of crumbled around him. Matthew Pavon, I think he had a triple bogey when he hit two in the
Jackie
water.
Jackie Robinson.
Lucas Bjerregaard, the twins, the Hogard twins, I think were playing in back-to-back groups one day. They were factors. Patrick Harrington, you know, he's back to being a competitive golfer after taking time to be a captain. He was somewhere, I think, top 15. But Peters sort of cruised in and gets the win. I don't know. Not a strong field, but congrats to your Illini.
As somebody who's, you know, kept close tabs on the former Illini, great, you know. One of the things I always think about when I think about Thomas Peters is that Ryder Cup at Hazeltine.
Sure, everybody does. That's literally all they think about most of the time.
Well, it just,
Thomas.
You know, you just think about like how good you thought he was going to be at that moment. And obviously, he's still like, he's still got to be under 30. I think he's probably 28, 29. And there's still a lot of time. And he's still hits the crap out of the ball. He's still got all the tools. So
temper's under
knows?
Control, maybe.
Yeah,
I think.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think it, you know, I think the temper's fine. Him and John Rahm run a little hot under the collar. Tyrrell, too.
Yeah.
This guy, he's maybe the best club snapper out there.
I don't think he's doing that anymore. Congrats to Thomas
maybe.
Peters. It's a win. I wouldn't say it's a big win. I need a real big win. Is that the song? I don't think it was a big win, but congrats. Elsewhere. Lydia Ko wins the Saudi something, Aramco Saudi Women's International. Not really a good field, let's be honest. She was talking about how great it was to be at Royal Greens. She shot a 65. I think she won, but she shot the course record like on Saturday, then shot a 65 Sunday and won by 5, 23 under. Congrats to Lydia Ko, I suppose.
Good job, Lydia Ko.
Second to win this year.
Saudi's hosting golf.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And then on the Champions Tour, the TimberTech Championship, Stephen Alker wins at Boca Raton, the old course, the home of, I don't know, Boca Raton Golf, the old course at Broken Sound. Alker, this is amazing. I got this from, I think, a Golf Digest write-up. He won $305,000 for winning. So he's won $896,000, $207 in 9 events since he qualified for the Boeing Classic outside Seattle in late August, which was his Champions Tour debut. So he's won almost $900,000 in 9 events. It's more than he made in his entire career on the PGA Tour.
No.
Yes. Yes. He turned 50 on July 28th. So this is, again, kind of shows the, kind of pulls the pants down on the Champions Tour. And just like, you know, so he immediately turns 50, immediately qualifies for the Boeing Classic. I don't know if he Monday qualified, how he got in. Then quickly makes almost $1 million in 9 events. He gets into top 36, the Schwab Finals in Phoenix. So he got 7th at the Boeing Classic, which is what he qualified in for. So that got him into the next event, where he finished 3rd. I think it was the Ally Challenge. And then he had 4 more top 10s. So it's kind of crazy. And that gets him in the postseason, which he then won the second leg. And now which was enough to get him to Phoenix. He's won almost $900,000 in 9 events. And more than he's ever won in his entire career on the PGA Tour. Speaks the Champions Tour. They're doing backflips in the little, I don't know, meeting room number 94 at the Global Home where they run the Champions Tour out of. Go ahead.
Can I, you know, he's playing on the Korn Ferry Tour before this.
Yes.
He had a T5 2 weeks before he made his Champions Tour debut.
Oh, all right. So early July. Okay.
That was his only top 10 finish in 15 starts. He had 8 missed cuts on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Now he's just... I mean, what is this? This is Social Security. This is the, you know, the social safety net for these golfers. Guy made no... Guy couldn't make it. He didn't make it. Now he's made $1 million since July 30th. Turns 50 and makes $1 million. And good on him. It's not. I'm not taking a shot at Stephen Alker, but this system...
So are you saying that it shouldn't... That it should only, you should have to have made it on the PGA Tour to be playing?
No.
Are you getting into that?
Absolutely not. I'm because just thinking
$1 million. It's already the hardest place to get on. You know, they have Q School. There's like 5 spots.
This is not to say Scott Parels, the Stephen Alker, shouldn't have a chance, but making $1 million? It just seems... not commensurate with whatever else is going on in some of these other tours. And we've talked about that in the past. And this is kind of to your point. Some of these Korn Ferry guys should be able to call up. If you get a hot week, you get a hot, like, 3 months, that's a career. Maybe that, and but they don't have access to get up there. Maybe they could be a top 50 player in the world for 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And you're playing, but you can't get in. Like, you can't get called up. And this Stephen Alker just went and made more money his entire career's worth in 9 events. So I think, you know, I guess you could do it on the PGA Tour if you start Monday qualifying.
You know how much he made on the Korn Ferry Tour?
In his career or last?
In 2020, 2021. Super season, 29 events.
17,000.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. What?
He had a top 5.
I'm kidding. All right, fine.
Give it a second guess.
$125,000.
79.9. So 80 grand and 29 events on the Korn Ferry goes up to the Champions Tour. 9 events, $900,000.
I mean, he went and won it. You know, he beat Furyk. I think the Champions Tour. And Lahner is like the number one seed. The guy is whatever, 65, and he's the number one seed in the finals. I don't know.
He's going to be sitting on McCarron's bar stool.
The McCarron stool. Who was the guy that holed out and got him the win?
God. Maggart, right?
The clashing colored Maggart. This is the black shoes, navy slacks, you know, 3 different types of tan up top. Yeah. Jeff Maggart. That's right. All right. I think that does it for the golf that's finished. What's still ongoing is Q School. Did not get it at the landings in Savannah.
Some brutal weather.
Looks like it was not pleasant weather in most of Florida and, you know, southern Georgia this weekend. I played golf up in Ohio. It was great. 29 degrees when we teed off, but we didn't have rain. We played. We got it in.
But they couldn't get it in. Overclub Challenge place?
Yeah. I was talking to some people about the Overclub Challenge. They're talking about the Heavenwood that went off the property into someone's backyard. And that's when everything got blown up. Anyways. Yeah, we're going to do that.
A big weekend for the Illini and Q School. It looks like, I don't want to jinx him, but Michael Feagles.
Okay.
Recent graduate of the fine University of Illinois. Looks like he's got his card lockup. Zach Fisher leading the way.
He does lead. Yep.
A burly boy, Jonathan Brightwell, is right there.
That's a great name.
Eric Cole, the minor league tour.
Is he an actually burly boy? Is he actually burly, or did he just go to Oklahoma? We don't know. Okay. All right. We'll have to...
Tom Lovelady, a burly boy, full of perspective from working at Discovery Land Company.
Selling property to billionaires. He's got
T14.
All right.
Your guy Tane Lee is T22. Looks like he's in decent shape. The thing is, T22. This is why you should watch. T22 is 2 under. That's going to get you lots of starts, right?
Yes.
You want to be top 40 effectively in this thing is the way I think I remember it, if I remember it correctly. Plus one, one over, is T-47.
All right.
So you got a lot of bunching. Okay. So in there, like, you got Ryan Lumsen, one of Chicago's own Big Ten team. He lives, you know, they say he's from London, but, you know, really he's Chicago boy.
Sure, sure.
Alvin Choi's in there. Kevin Yu, great player from Arizona State, is one under. And then you got some guys like John Augustin. He's one over. And you got Austin Eckroat, who's Oklahoma State guy. You know.
Yep.
You see, yep. Danny Summerhays is back.
Yeah, I did see that.
Back from the classroom.
We had to give him all the pomp and circumstance and send him off with the hero's farewell, the tears, and this is it. We're hanging it up, and he's back. Pulled the Brett Favre on us. Came right back out of retirement. So this,
you
will
know,
be,
who's still out there?
What?
The Burley boy. He hasn't. Listen to this. This is so absurd. He hasn't. They don't even have his scores in for the third round.
Quad?
Yeah.
I see that. I'm looking at him now.
What is going on at Blue Golf?
They're covering it, but they don't have scores. The PGA Tour scoring apparatus. That's the other thing. No ShotLink in Mayakoba. It's like a $1 billion organization. ShotLink got held up in customs. Didn't get down to Mayakoba. But they can't do scores for Korn Ferry Tour. But we will commend them. This is, if you want to just not do work on Monday, 9:30 a.m. It looks like they start streaming. 9:30 to 3:30. Monday golf. Monday finish golf. I think it's on PGA Tour Live, or maybe it's golfchannel.com, it looks like. So
here's a question.
Yeah.
Vasacki, he's on the outside looking at
him. He's in a featured group, I should say. Big Mike. Celebrity Mike. He's in one of the featured groups. Okay.
I feel bad for Big Mike just because of the circumstances he's been put in.
He's become a pawn.
Yes.
He's become a
content pawn.
It's ridiculous. They got him answering these fake phone calls scripted for TV. It's just ridiculous. They're exploiting him, Big Mike.
So it doesn't look like he's going to get starts.
He's like the Elian Gonzalez of the content game. They're using him. These people are using him for his own purposes.
How many sponsors exemptions does he get this year? In the hopes that they can stage a JT sponsors exemption call. Mike sitting at home, gets the sponsors invite, camera crews there. They tell JT to call Big Mike. Good on camera.
Just for the content?
Just for the content.
Well, if you get this many views, he's in. The next one. JT had some quote, like, he's a great player. I've never played with him, but he's a great player. I mean, I guess you could call someone a great player. You don't have to play with them, but it's just seemed a little disingenuous.
I mean, you kind of need to, like, at least see
him.
If
you're a pro, yeah. Yeah. That could be the... Yeah, development of the year. Big Mike exemptions.
Stephen Fountain's not going to get starts. It might be over for him.
Oh, come on. There's always a soft landing at the Fountains.
I'm serious.
What does that mean?
I think he's really worn down by it. I think it might be the end.
That'd be sad.
Honestly, I think it could be. This could be the end.
They should have a ceremony for him at the Fountains.
Put some dye in the fountain.
Make a statue. Do whatever you need to do. All right, that's it. You got anything else you want to say before we sign off? It's sleepy. Monday, November at golf,
Well, you got the Bears Monday night. I'll tell you what, I haven't been waiting for Monday night. I don't want to watch. You got to be a big Bears fan. You got to root for us to beat the Steelers.
Knock off the Big Ben. Knock off the Steelers. Is that in Pittsburgh or Chicago?
I don't know.
Doesn't even matter. I think NFL might be a bunch of teams that are like not great. They're either not that good or they're like okay, semi good. Just seems like everybody can lose to anybody right now. But I need the Bears to come through.
In Chicago.
Okay.
Or no, at Pittsburgh.
At Pittsburgh. All right. Enjoy that Monday night. Is it a Manning cast? That'd be nice. Hopefully you get a Manning cast for that one.
That would be nice.
Hopefully you get that. They can talk about Matt Nagy.
I'm going to be in D.C.
They could crush Matt Nagy.
We could watch it together.
I'm going to be in New York. Yeah. Two ships passing in the night here. That's sad. But that would be fantastic if we got Manning cast talking about Matt Nagy. This just like rake him over coals.
We can only hope. We had Romo and Nance do it a couple weekends ago. The chances, if he's on the sidelines, they're going to suck. The offense is going to look terrible. So
that's true. All right. We'll watch for that Monday night. All right. Everyone enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back later this week. We'll talk a little Houston Open. I think LPGA comes back, Dubai, stuff like that. We'll talk to you soon.